Soy gold. Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson.
When you guys are out here talking about, oh, you know, the roads are tough and, you know, it's here are some issues in Wisconsin, like election map. You know, talk to me when you get inside an alien spaceship and actually talk to an alien, okay? Because that's something that I'm interested in, because that's what Wisconsin families want to know. What's going on inside with those little guys?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Did you shovel yourself out of your driveway this morning? Did you get stuck in a snowbank? Did you have some chili with too much pasta in it last night
that
like
was
I
so
did?
Funny.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I had no supervision. And so it was still good. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
More like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing, Jane Madnair?
I am good. I want to share something that I saw on my way into work this morning that I have never seen before.
Okay.
In all of the years I've been driving in terrible weather to get to work and from work. So as I'm driving out to Waukesha today, I make a turn and there is a car turning behind me. Now, what a pain for people who have to park outside.
Yeah.
Because their cars get covered with snow. And so this guy had a good 4 inches of snow on the top of his vehicle. And as he turned, all of it slid onto his windshield, completely covering the windshield. And it's so heavy that his wipers could not get it. So he actually stopped traffic because he couldn't see.
Was this on a... This
it
was
happened
a,
this morning.
Was it on like a side road or was it a busy street?
It was on Barstow. Yeah. So he actually completely stopped traffic because...
He didn't even pull over?
He couldn't see.
Oh, wow.
So I kept driving. I don't know what happened.
Did you call someone to tell them that he was driving bad?
Who would I call?
Have a bumper sticker, so I called my wife. Tell her I'm driving.
If I had had a number, I would have called. But just a tip, maybe as much of a pain as it is, and I know it's a pain to try and, you know, brush all that stuff off, especially because this stuff weighs like 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
But just keep that in mind.
I had the feeling of being very appreciative for the very gendered roles we have in our marriage. I came downstairs after I was prepping for today's show, and Mike walked in just totally covered in sweat. Because he had not only shoveled and snowblowed our entire area, he did like the whole block.
That's so nice. My husband will do that too.
Yeah. And so then he had a well-deserved nap.
Cool.
So he laid down almost immediately after doing that.
Yeah.
Really
though, if you have elderly people in your neighborhood, you may want to give them a hand today, because this is the heart attack stuff. It is. It's really heavy. It's deceitful, you know, because it's only a couple of inches. So if you can help out a neighbor, that would be good.
Yeah, we really didn't get hit with that much. And it didn't seem, I don't know, I can't tell what it was like up north. But as far as for us,
this wasn't terrible.
I got home safe. We all got home safely yesterday.
Yep.
We stayed inside this morning. I was a little like, there was a little bit of that kid element of, ooh, are we going to get a snow day? Is it going to be too hard for Jane and I to get into the studio and I get a day off? But no.
No. We are here.
We're here.
And we have guests, too.
And we have a great show. I am so excited for this. He's going to make my job easy today. So at noon today, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 43 years of journalism.
Wow.
Been retired now for 2 months. George Stanley is going to be here for the full hour. And so I have already started crowdsourcing some questions that some journalists over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel told me that I should ask him. But we're going to have a very freewheeling conversation as far as what's next, his career, how journalism has changed, how Wisconsin has changed. apparently he has a really good Bart Starr story. So we'll hear some of his favorite stories.
Oh,
but
I bet he's got dozens of them.
Yeah, and so I'm really, he's going to be in studio for the full hour from noon to one. And so definitely stay tuned for that. And also, if you have questions for him as someone who, you know, was the editor of, well, he worked at the Sentinel and was there through so many changes of the merger between the Sentinel and the Journal, and then obviously being taken over by Gannett and then being the editor and all the different things. So if you have questions for George Stanley, text him in now, 844-967-2789. And then right before that, at 11:30, former candidate for U.S. Senate and current executive of the Milwaukee Bucks, Alex Lazary, is going to be here because he has also announced that he is running a PAC in the next political move for him after running. And so he's going to join us via StreamYard, and so he'll be on the live stream. We're going to talk about, you know, because I think some of it was interesting when this first was announced, I think a week or so ago, maybe it was just last week. And I think there was a little bit on the heels of Mandela Barnes announcing that he was doing a PAC. And so I'm going to definitely ask him what the appeal is of having this be kind of the pivot for so many candidates after their campaigns end. But also, you know, he's a New York guy. That's where he grew up.
Right.
And at least in the article that Bill Glauber wrote for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he made it pretty clear that him and his wife and their daughter, like, he's staying in Milwaukee. And so I think it's interesting to see, like, you know, when you can live anywhere, why you choose a place. And so we'll have a good conversation about that. But to start off, you know, I saw a handful of these headlines, and any of them would have been prime candidates for the ticked off tee off. But then I said, well, why pick one when we can just play three headlines and a lie?
Fantastic.
So, Jane Matinere, I am going to read four headlines. Three are real. One is not.
Okay.
See if you can pick which one is the lie. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves unsure whether providing mothers health care would help their health. That is number one.
Okay.
Headline number two. Lawmaker censured for asking if fatal child abuse saves taxpayer money.
That's quite something.
That is quite something. Number three. Sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to the Agriculture Committee.
An abortion bill. Measure.
Not for cows. It's not whether you can abort cows.
This is a women's health care bill that is going to the Agriculture Committee. I just want to make sure I understand. Yep. Okay.
And then finally, cops apologizes for pro-life cupcake day by offering free scoop for every abortion.
But cops, the ice cream people? Custard.
Custard.
The custard people. All right. Three of those are real.
Three of those are real.
And one is a lie.
One is a lie.
Can we go through them once more?
We sure can. Number one, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves unsure whether providing mothers health care would help their health.
Okay.
Number two, lawmaker censured for asking if fatal child abuse saves taxpayers money. Number three, sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to Agriculture Committee. And finally, cops apologizes for pro-life cupcake day by offering free scoop for every abortion.
I'm tempted to go with the abortion bill going to the Agriculture Committee, but I can actually see that happening. So I am going with the cops story as the lie.
You are correct. That was a headline written by our friends over at Wisconsin News Today. We actually did cover that story of cops. I think this was over the summer there's a pro-life cupcake day. And so they made that a flavor and then they immediately took it off and changed it, but then they wrote an apology, and then the apology got way more attention than the initial declaration of having that flavor. And so this was a joke satire from Wisconsin News Today. We love them. They've been on the show before. They are very funny. I highly suggest following them on social media because they have some pretty great fake headlines. But all three of those other ones, real. All three of those other ones real and happened basically in the last week. Which is something. And it's really just something because you think about all the people involved in those stories very much consider themselves pro-life people when they talk about Governor Tate Reeves saying there's not enough data to know that extending postpartum care actually helps women after they have babies.
There's not enough data?
Not enough data.
There's none whatsoever.
We'll take these little one by one. We have about 2 minutes left. We'll just start with Mississippi governor of, the state with one of the highest maternal mortality rates. Governor Tate Reeves on Thursday reiterated that he really wants to help more mothers and babies. After all, it's the right thing to do, the post-Roe abortion ban in Mississippi. What with their third world levels of infant and maternal mortality. But he's not sure spending $7 million to draw down tens of millions of federal dollars to provide thousands of mothers with 12 months of postpartum health care instead of 60 days would help them. He needs more data.
Oh.
More study on the issue.
You don't want to rush into things like this.
But providing $10 million in tax credits for crisis pregnancy centers that provide no real health care but counsel women not to get abortions, even though they're banned now anyways in Mississippi, and give them diapers, well, apparently that would be money well spent. It's unclear what data shows that. So $10 million in tax credits, but $7 million for extended postpartum care? Too much money. We need more data.
Yeah, can't do that.
Whoo! Pro-life. Help. Let's help the mothers.
Right, because we love life.
We love life. We want to support mothers. And welcome to Mississippi. So that is number one. We will dive a little bit deeper into the other two headlines that were real, very real. The Alaska state senator who asked in real life, in session, whether or not taxpayers would save money, would it be a benefit to society if children who were victims of child abuse died?
I have sound on that,
oh,
by the
great.
Way.
Oh, great. And then the other one that was very much real is that in Wyoming, they are sending their sweeping restrictive abortion bill not to the health committee, to the agriculture committee. Ticked off, tee off. This is it. As goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Coming up after this segment, Alex Lazary will be joining us to talk about his new PAC that is focused on mayoral and county executive campaigns. It's called Next Wisconsin. And then at noon, George Stanley, former editor of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, will be here in person for the full hour. It's going to be a great conversation. But right now, in the ticked off tee off, we played a fun game of three headlines and a lie, pro-life edition, pro-life in quotation marks.
Yeah.
We already covered one of the real headlines, which is that Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, unsure that providing mothers health care would actually help their health, needs more data. And the next one takes us to Alaska. Sorry, I think I said before he was a state senator. He is a representative.
He's a rep, yep.
But Alaska State Rep David Eastman, who's a Republican, asked about the position that it's actually a benefit to society because there aren't needs for government services when a child who's a victim of child abuse dies.
Let's take a listen.
Can you say that again? Did you say a benefit for society?
Talking dollars. Now, you've got a $1.5 million price tag here for victims of fatal child abuse. It gets argued periodically that it's actually a cost savings because that child is not going to need any of those government services that they might otherwise be entitled to receive and need based on, you know, growing up in this type of environment.
Through the chair, Representative, I guess that would be the idea, if I can use a really bad analogy, when you hit somebody, you always back up because it's cheaper to insurance. I don't pertain to that, and I'm really, I'm not even sure how to answer that.
You should watch the video because the man who is responding represents children who have been abused. Yes. and all of, he was just dumbfounded.
I mean, he said, he's like, I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah.
And basically he has been censured. The only other person to be censured in the Alaskan state legislature, also David Eastman.
Oh, well, he's two for two.
Back in, I saw it in the Washington Post article and now I lost my spot, but, you know, he thought he did something there because it is, because he considers, when I was reading about this, he considers abortion the cruelest form of child abuse. This is his belief. So he thought he was extending the argument that because the question gets raised, when you force people to have children they are not financially ready to have,
right,
the extent that government assistance is going to be needed to be able to provide for kids who are now born into bad situations. So he was trying to extend that to children who were already alive and well and grown to the point that they are in foster care or in really bad situations. And this guy was there to basically talk about the argument of advocating for children, and that if they die, the economic impact of that is losing like $1.5 million because of the fact that it's lost wages, right? It's their
earning potential.
Their earning potential into society. And this was the question this guy with a very punchable face thought that was really a gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
He was just playing devil's advocate. That was his text message back to a journalist covering the story. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions.
All right. And finally, over to Wyoming.
Oh, this is a doozy.
Sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to Ag Committee. Could you imagine?
I only have one response to this, and that is moo.
I know. So after a nearly two-week hangup in the Senate, the most ambitious abortion restriction bill in the Wyoming legislature Wyoming legislature has ever considered is back on track. It's the Life is a Human Right bill, and it's now being sent to the Senate Agriculture Committee, where it's likely to receive an affirmative vote, and a much faster affirmative vote than the concerns over sending it to the Health Committee, where it's still chaired by Republicans, but more moderate Republicans. So they might have asked a couple more questions.
Well, we don't want them asking questions. So let's send it
to the people in charge of animals.
Yes, the Agriculture Committee. If women in Wyoming are not deeply offended by this, I don't understand. I don't understand.
And what I also don't understand is the commitment, even though this is a losing issue. How many times and how many election cycles are certain Republicans going to cling to this and try to keep pushing these kinds of bills through until they realize that even a lot of Republican women do not want this? And this is a losing issue. I mean, I can't wait for Marquette law school polling to come out, because you know now it will, going into this Wisconsin Supreme Court election, and what they find on what and why people are motivated to vote in this election.
Yes.
And I guarantee abortion's still at the top of that.
I agree with you. And I am surprised that some are surprised that stripping bodily autonomy from 50% of the population is not popular. Who could have thunk that?
Who would have Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
If I would have only talked to the women in my life.
Oh, I should have asked some questions,
gosh,
maybe. Boy, missed opportunities.
So, it, reading those, I am happy that we still live in Wisconsin.
Amen.
Right? I'm just, all three of those are mind-numbing.
They are.
How frustrating and infuriating they are, and how dangerous all of those questions actually are. All right, well, when we come back, Alex Lazary will be here to talk about next Wisconsin, his next political move in a PAC, Political Action Committee. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medinare. And our next guest is Milwaukee Bucks executive, former candidate for U.S. Senate, Alex Lazary. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're doing great. Welcome to the show. First time.
Thank you. Big fan. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for that. So I saw this was, it was last week, right? It was on Valentine's Day that the news broke that you are joining the ranks of people with a political action committee, and it's called Next Wisconsin. So tell us kind of this, the broad overview of what you're hoping to do with it.
Yeah, I figured no better Valentine's Day gift to my wife than than a political action committee. But this is Next Wisconsin. The point of this PAC is to invest in mayors and county executive races around the state. When I was traveling Wisconsin, one of the things I saw was, first off, how important these mayors and county executive races are. You know, Tony Evers is doing heroic work on the state level, trying to make sure that he's able to get money and funds to these, you know, cities and counties so that they have the resources they need to grow. The most important thing, though, is that we have mayors and county executives on the ground who can actually then take those funds and take that policy that he has and turn it into action. And that's, you know, something that I saw where you could see the real difference when you would go to cities and counties with, you know, good, strong Democrats at the helm and the growth that those cities would have. And I just wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to properly invest. And that's what we're doing with this PAC.
Which is great. I mean, I think it's, as we've seen kind of the different angles that different candidates have taken after their campaign ends and what's the next move, as far as like, I think you're one of the first ones I've known that's taken this specific as far as like being mayors and county executives. And you're already involved with three different candidates that are running right now.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that was kind of what we were first looking at was, you know, where is there a gap and a need that we could help fill? Because you're right, right? Like, you know, everyone wants to stay involved after their campaign is over, and what is the best way to do it? And I'm proud of the work that Mandela and Sarah are doing. I think they're doing very important work as well. I just saw that I thought that there was a gap and something that we could help fill. And, you know, you don't really hear about these mayors and county executive races being talked about. We hear about the state Supreme Court race. Can't talk about how important that is, right? That is going to be probably the most important race in the country. But that doesn't mean that there aren't important races that are also happening around the state as well. And so we're working with Corey Mason in Racine, Eric Genrich in Green Bay, and Mike Wiesa in Stevens Point. And so we're going to, you know, make sure that we're running, you know, we're going to be investing pretty significantly in these three races to ensure that we're able to keep those three mayors who have had a real history of accomplishment in office and making sure that they're able to continue doing what's best for their communities.
And what was it about those three candidates that stuck out to you as far as the first three to, I mean, I guess kind of pilot program on, but it is, it's, I mean, you guys, you just launched this.
Yeah. So, I mean, like this is going to be the first tranche and the first wave that we're doing this cycle. And I think with these three mayors, you know, these are three people who have done, you know, real things in their communities, who I think have helped move, you know, their cities forward, and I think deserve the chance to continue to do that work. And, you know, when we look at, you know, what's going on in Racine, Stevens Point, and Green Bay, we need to make sure that we've got, you know, those good Democrats in office. And I think Corey, Eric, and Mike have been doing a tremendous job and deserve the chance to be able to continue. And, you know, when I was traveling the state, I got to, you know them even better. I've known Corey for a while. I got to really get to know Mike and Eric even better. And when you travel to, you know, their cities, you see the great things that they've been able to do. And I just, you know, that's what I think we just need to make sure that we're able to continue.
And so taking a step back a little bit, because I think having the, because what was it, a week or so after Mandela's PAC got announced that yours did. And so what is it about this pivot that you think is a popular choice for candidates as far as like, we ran the campaign, is it because there's leftover money or like, what is like, why is this, not that it's a bad thing, because I think you're right as far as the different focus that each of you have taken, but it is kind of as just a headline. It's like, oh God, another one. And so why do you think it's such a popular move?
I think because look, what, you know, especially, you know, once you've ran, you've made connections, you've kind of seen on the inside how these campaigns work and the resources that they need. And I think what you're then able to do is say, okay, how do I take all of the connections that I made, you know, all of the relationships and all of the knowledge that I got from the campaign, and how do I turn that into action? And I think, you know, what a lot of people see and what we kind of found was that these, you know, these PACs are a great way to kind of take that, you know, those relationships and that knowledge, and quite frankly, the money that you need to be able to run a campaign and be able to, you know, to help out. I think what you see a lot of the time, we saw it in the Senate race with Mandela on a much larger scale, but you know, you're going to see this in mayor's races and county executive races around the state, is a little bit of money goes a long way. You know, these mayor's races aren't, you know, multi-million dollar, campaigns. You know, you put, you know, an extra 25 grand into a race, that's going to have a big difference and a really big impact. And we're seeing Republicans have been doing that around the state, for a while now. I think it's now, you know, great to see, you know, our candidates starting to get involved and making sure that we're able to fight back.
Our guest is Alex Lazary, and we're talking to him about his new PAC called Next Wisconsin. Alex, I have to ask you, isn't a large part of your job just calling people and asking for money?
That is a part of the PAC's job. This isn't the only thing that I'm doing, but if we're just talking about the PAC, yeah, I mean, look, these campaigns need money, right? At the end of the day, campaigns need money. And the only way that you can get your message out is you have to be able to pay for things to get on the air. You have to be able to pay for mail. You have to be able to, you know, pay for digital. But at the end of the day, that's just helping, right? What's going to win these races is making sure that we have candidates with the right message who are going to do the work. And we're just there to help supplement. We're not going to win the race for Corey or Eric or Mike. They're going to win the race on their record and on the hard work that they're going to put forward. What we're just trying to do is help supplement and make sure, hey, how do we make sure that their message is getting out, that what they're saying and their record is available? If you actually look at the ads that we're doing, you know, we announced our first round of digital ads. They're pretty policy focused. And that's because we want people to know, hey, these are our mayors who have a record of accomplishment. And that's what we're trying to make sure that we're telling the community and just making sure that that gets out.
Does it get any easier asking for money?
No, asking for money is terrible. No one likes it. I mean, it's no one likes doing it, whether you have to do it for a campaign, a PAC, or even, you know, charitable causes. Yeah. Like it's hard. And it's not fun. But I think when you've got a cause that you believe in and something where you can say, hey, we can make a real difference here. And I think what people are starting to see, and we just saw record turnout in this primary, is I think what people are starting to realize is government matters.
Yeah.
Who's in office matters. And you can't just take a laissez-faire approach to who's being elected and who's in office. And so I think, you know, with seeing this record turnout in this last primary and then probably going to see even more record turnout in April, I think it's just communities being able to say, who's running my community, who's elected to office, and who's representing us is really important. And this stuff matters. And that's why I think, you know, you're going to see more, you're seeing more PACs popping up, because this stuff is important and it matters. And who we get elected is going to have a big effect on the next 4, 8, 10 years of our growth.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because that was going to be my next question, is, or I guess observation of, I think there's some of us who want to believe that the record turnout on Tuesday is exactly what you said, is people understand what's at stake, that those of us in the media have done a good job of communicating what's at stake. And it, but it's also hard to not acknowledge it's already one of the most expensive Wisconsin, like judicial or Supreme Court races in the country. It will be, it's on track to be the most expensive in the nation ever. And like how much it's as much of people understanding it as it does come down to money, because it is just being able to afford to break through the noise of an oversaturated media landscape and social media landscape and have people know your name.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's gross how much money, you know, these campaigns are and how much money is in politics. And, you know, one of the things I was trying to do, you know, that we ran on was, you know, how do we get kind of that big and especially dark money out of politics? But I do think what is important for everyone to realize, and I think we also have to recognize, we had record turnout. It was still only 20% of voting age population, right?
We're like yes, but still.
We're like, yes, only 80% of the people didn't vote this time. And I think that's something we have to continue to move forward with. It's what we're trying to do, you know, with Buck's Vote. That's something that we've been trying to do, is make sure that we're just getting people aware. But I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, the ads do is it also makes people aware that there's a campaign, that there's an election coming up. You know, in Wisconsin, we do have a lot of elections. There are a lot. And so yes. I think what we need to make sure that we're doing constantly is letting people know, hey, these elections matter. And the only, and it's not just the presidential that matters. It's not just the governor and the Senate. Who your DA is matters. Who your mayor is day to day probably matters more than who the president is. Right? Who your county executive day to day really matters. Who our Supreme Court justice is going to have probably one of the most influential impacts on this state over the next decade as anything else. And I think that's something that we're all trying, you know, that all of this money that's coming into these elections is just showing the importance of these races. And I think what we kind of saw with our next Wisconsin PAC is that there's a real hole that needs to be filled, I think, especially on the Democratic side, of making sure that we're getting local electeds elected on the Democratic side in some of these communities that, you know, don't, I think, get the same attention that that they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as, it's been 6 months since the end of your campaign, six-ish?
It felt like 2 years, but yeah, I think only 6 months.
So as far as, you know, having some time to look back, and obviously you're on to the next couple things, but what were some of the biggest takeaways? I don't think I've seen you since then. And so what, you know, kind of biggest learning, biggest lessons coming out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the campaign. I think the, you know, one of the biggest lessons I'd learned is I don't think I'd run another campaign with a, you know, with a newborn. I think that was probably the first lesson. And I think my
shout
wife
out
would
to
echo
your wife.
That. Yeah. And I think Lauren would echo, maybe having a newborn is not the time to start a campaign, but you know, we loved the process. You get to, you know, travel the state, talk to voters. And I think what you really get to see is that I think a lot of the things that like we read about on social media, maybe that like the mainstream press is always talking about, isn't necessarily always the things that are on voters' minds day to day, right? And I think the things that are going on in DC, you know, a lot, isn't necessarily always what's going on in voters' minds day to day. And I think we also have to realize that with campaigns, not everyone has the capacity and the ability to pay attention a full year, yeah, full 6 months, right? They've got jobs, you know, daycare closing, you know, health issues, you know, family members, et cetera, right? There's a ton going on in people's lives. And then what was great about the campaign was also seeing the nuance that people had on issues. It's not as black and white as we, you know, start to think. It's not as Democrat versus Republican. People are really smart and they know what they need in their day-to-day lives, and they know what they want out of their representative and what they want their person in office to be able to do. And that's just make life a little bit easier. Stop arguing and actually get some stuff done.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I saw all across the state was people just constantly saying, I just want my elected officials to actually do things. And, you know, not just argue with the other side, not just complain about why they can't get something done, but actually just get some stuff done and move the ball forward. I think it's why Democrats were rewarded in this midterm, because Joe Biden got stuff done. Mm-hmm. And that's going to actually move this country forward. And I think that's what Democrats were rewarded for.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, Alex Lazary will still be here. We'll talk a little Bucks, and we'll talk a little, you know, I spent some time in New York, but kind of like, you're making roots in Milwaukee, maybe some things you miss about New York. And, you know, what's the difference between growing up there versus here? All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And our guest this half hour is Alex Lazary, Milwaukee Bucks executive, former candidate for U.S. Senate, and executive of Next Wisconsin. What's your title now?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever. That all makes sense.
So I thought of this. I do want to get to you making roots in Milwaukee. But I also, as you were saying at the end of the last segment about getting to go all across Wisconsin, what do you think was the most quintessential, stereotypical Wisconsin thing you did on the campaign?
Oh, man. I mean, probably like the, you know, the, I mean, the worst part was when Eleanor put cheese curds in her mouth, took them out, and then shoved them into my mouth. that was the most unique way I ate a cheese curd.
Okay.
You know, a cream puff at State Fair.
Okay.
Probably felt like the most stereotypical one. That was probably the one like where we posted where my friends texted me like, oh, wow, you are a political candidate.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that was also, you know, you are grew up in New York, New York City kid. Mm-hmm. But you and your wife, Lauren, have made it pretty clear that regardless of the outcome of that campaign, regardless of rumors about your dad's selling his shares of the Bucks, that you guys are staying in Milwaukee, correct?
Yeah, Milwaukee's our home. We absolutely love it here. You know, the community that we've been able to become a part of, you know, the quality of life, you know, the friends and families that we've made out here, right? This is where Eleanor's being raised. This is where, you know, our family is being started. And I can't see, you know, us living anywhere else. This is home. And you know, this is, you know, a place that we just absolutely love being. And no matter what happens with anything, you know, this is the place that we want to be.
Yeah, I that's how I feel about it after having lived all over the country. And so, but I would say,
and I think that's, and I will just say, like, I think that's like what's so great about, you know, Wisconsin and Milwaukee, right? We want people to move here and stay here, right? We want this to be a place that people are looking at as, hey, you know, when I graduate from college or when I'm looking for the next phase of my life, Milwaukee's the place I want to be. And that was something that, you know, I talked about a ton on the campaign trail was one of the issues we have right now is we're growing at half the rate as, you know, the national average. People, our brain drain is real. People are leaving our state where they're growing up here and then leaving. And, you know, the end of Roe is not going to help, and us keeping that 1849 law on the books isn't going to help us recruit more talent. The inability of, you know, Republicans on the state level to send more money to Milwaukee to, you know, make sure that it has the resources it needs to grow is going to make it really hard for us to recruit more talent here. And, you know, what I think we really want is people who, you know, one, when they live here, they come back, right? I want Eleanor in 21 years, you know, to, you know, when she graduates from college, to say, Milwaukee's where I want to live. That's where I'm going to now live and raise my family. And I think that's the biggest question that we have over the next, you know, 10, 20 years is, how do we make sure that happens?
Our guest is Alex Lazary. He is a Milwaukee Bucks executive, also started a new PAC called Next Wisconsin. Shifting gears a little bit, Alex, you may not be aware of this, but when I was working for my previous employer in conjunction with Peter Fagan from the Bucks, I was the unofficial vice president of accessories for the Bucks, and I am perfectly willing to renegotiate my non-existent contract anytime you guys want to sit down and have a talk.
Those are the best contracts to negotiate, so I'm more than happy to definitely talk about a non-existent contract anytime you need.
I think I'm great at
negotiating those.
I think Peter will be willing to vouch for my qualifications.
Okay. Well, let me talk to him. I mean, this is what I learned in business school, was how to negotiate non-existent contracts.
I don't even know this. I didn't know this was on your resume, Jay.
Oh, there's a long story about the Bucks dancers light up shoes. That's where this all goes back to.
That tracks. With seeing the glitter shoes that you own, that definitely tracks.
My wife's favorite thing about the Bucks games is the grand dancers. It is, I think, the only reason she comes.
So speaking of the Bucks, we'll end there. How are you feeling about the season so far?
I feel really good. I mean, we have not been healthy all year, and we were tied for first in the NBA. We got a little All-Star break that'll hopefully have us get healthy. Jay Crowder is coming back, so you know we've got some Marquette strength with Jay and Wes, Wes on the team. So I feel great about where we are. I think we are, you know, one of the top two or three teams in the NBA. And at the end of the day, that's kind of all you can ask for. Going down the stretch, we're going to need a little bit of luck. We're going to need some health, but I think this is, you know, close to the best team that that we've ever had. And we've just got to make sure that we get healthy. I think that's going to be the biggest thing down the stretch is, can we make sure that all of our guys are healthy as we head into the playoffs?
Absolutely. And then we started this week by talking about the bid to bring an All-Star game here. And you were on the committee to get the DNC here. So do you feel like some of those skills are transferable of what you learned from that process to trying to lure the NBA to come to Milwaukee for a weekend?
I think it's very similar. I was just out in Utah for the All-Star game, you know, talking to people about how can we bring an All-Star game to Milwaukee. You know, it's tough. I think one of the things that, you know, that we were though able to show is Milwaukee's been able to handle these big events, and the All-Star game is not going to be any different. And I think that's the thing that we just have to keep pushing, is making sure that people realize, you know, Milwaukee, just like any other city, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Salt Lake, can handle, you know, these type of big conventions. If we were able to get the DNC, you know, the RNC, and a lot of the other big conventions that that we've gotten, there's no reason we can't host an All-Star game. And you know, I think, you know, people are going to really love Milwaukee in February. And it's why I think, you know, Milwaukee will be a great host for a future All-Star game.
As we look outside, we're like, yeah, who wouldn't want to come here right now?
It's perfect.
This is beautiful. This will turn you into a grown-up. This is what they need.
Put some hair in your chest. Come on.
Yeah.
This is
the perfect time for an All-Star game.
Buy some furry boots. We did joke, though. I guarantee the parties at the All-Star weekend are a lot more fun than the RNC.
I would imagine
yes,
so, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Alex Lazary.
I haven't been to an RNC, so I don't know what the parties are like, but I imagine the All-Star game ones are.
These are assumptions, yeah. But I would say, knowing the clientele, there's one I would much rather raise my hand for than the other. All right, Alex Lazary, thank you so much for spending time with us today. This was lovely. Can't wait to hear about how the races go on April 4th, and keep us posted, and you're always welcome back.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and looking forward to coming back.
All right. When we come back, George Stanley will be here for the full hour. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.